Tory leader in July after criticism of his personal conduct could square up against his former chancellor and rival Rishi Sunak, risking further Tory infighting. Rishi Sunak became the first leadership candidate to cross the 100th threshold and onto the ballot paper on Friday evening, one of his allies said. Tobias Elwood wrote on Twitter that he was honoured to be the 100th Tory MP to support the former Chancellor Sunak. Lord William Hague, the former Conservative leader, said a Boris Johnson comeback was the worst idea he had heard in the past 46 years as a party member, telling the Times Radio that it would put the party into a death spiral. The volatility in gilt yields on Friday came ahead of the third credit rating agency Moody's changing the UK's outlook to negative from stable. Reaffirming the AA3 rating, the agency lowered the outlook, citing heightened unpredictability in policymaking and the risk of higher government borrowing costs. Jane Foley, head of currency strategy at Rabobank, said Johnson's previous time in office had been characterized by a lack of leadership from a government very distracted by one scandal after another, and the chance that that could come back is not going to be welcomed by the markets. A 10-year gilt yield rose 0.22 percentage points to 4.13% on Friday, reflecting a fall in price, before edging back to 4.06%. The pound fell as much as 1.4% against the US dollar before recovering its losses. Simon French economist at Panmure Gordon said the United Kingdom would benefit from a dullness dividend if the party picked Rishi Sunak to replace Liz Truss. Sunak's allies expect him to keep Jeremy Hunt as his chancellor. He predicted that a team of Sunak and Hunt would close the spread between UK gilts and other sovereign debt held by other G7 countries by 50 basis points, which would equate to a £7 billion reduction in the 2026-2027 fiscal gap. Rishi Sunak quit as Boris Johnson's chancellor back in July, claiming his former boss was unable to take tough fiscal decisions. "Our people know that if something is too good to be true, it is not true," he said in his resignation letter. Berenberg analysts said there were greater market risks from a Johnson government, and that either Sunak or Penny Mordaunt, the leader of the House of Commons, who declared her candidacy on Friday, would probably preside over a sensible, predictable centre-right administration. In a note to clients, the bank added, "Given that a majority of Conservative MPs probably do not want Boris Johnson as their leader, the prospects of mass resignations and a further descent into chaos would loom large." Allies of Boris Johnson say they have privately approached Rishi Sunak to join forces in an attempt to present a united front, and that any administration would be fiscally responsible. British newspaper The Observer has more on this story. Senior Tories are engaged in a frantic campaign to stop Boris Johnson staging a dramatic return to No. 10 Downing Street, with claims he would cause further economic damage and risk the end of the Conservative Party. Boris Johnson's team was claiming on Saturday night that he had privately secured the support of 100 MPs necessary to enter the race, despite only 55 backing him in public. The assertion was immediately disputed by MPs and rival leadership campaign sources. Boris Johnson released a photo of himself lobbying an MP on the phone, but his allies on Saturday night could not confirm he would officially enter the contest to win back the leadership he was deposed from just a few months ago. In another day of high political drama in the race to succeed Liz Truss as Prime Minister, supporters of frontrunner Rishi Sunak were attempting to secure support from MPs so overwhelming that Johnson will be forced to drop out of the race. They believe a final indicative vote among MPs overwhelmingly backing Sunak would send a message to members not to lumber them with another leader they do not support. The two frontrunners held talks on Saturday night, 22nd of October, as they approach Monday's 2 p.m. deadline for nominations, and while neither camp disclosed the content, it is understood that Boris Johnson was proposing a deal which he claimed would avoid a divisive battle within the Conservative Party. Former cabinet ministers backing Rishi Sunak said a comeback for Johnson would also unsettle the financial markets, increasing the risk of further sharp rises in interest rates by the Bank of England within days. One former cabinet colleague of Johnson said desperate efforts were underway to rally support behind Rishi Sunak, not least because he would symbolise stability to the financial markets and reduce the chances of interest rates and mortgages rising further. He said the medium-term fiscal plan due to be announced by Chancellor Jeremy Hunt on 31st of October would be vital and must not be compromised by Boris Johnson's return. It will then be a question of whether Johnson puts his narcissism above the interests of the country, said a senior source. A big win for Sunak will put pressure on Johnson. Kemi Badenoch, seen as a future leader, provided Rishi Sunak with a big boost by backing him. Meanwhile, there were claims that a hardcore group of about a dozen MPs opposed to Boris Johnson's return would resign the whip should he take over again. Other Tory MPs said Johnson would struggle to get any laws through Parliament should he return, given the strength of feeling against him. Tory MP Roger Gale revealed on Saturday that he would resign the Tory whip if Boris Johnson became Prime Minister once again. Another Tory MP said they would consider their place in the party should Johnson return, warning it was the one outcome that risked precipitating an early election and could spell the end of the Conservative Party should MPs begin to split away. Several Tories made clear that the Privileges Committee investigation into whether Boris Johnson misled the House of Commons over Partygate made it impossible to accept him as leader. Some said they would back an election rather than vote for an attempt to spare Johnson from the inquiry. Former Daily Telegraph editor Charles Moore, who is a friend of Boris Johnson, also urged him not to stand, saying it was too early to return and that Sunak had been proven right about unfunded tax cuts. Charles Moore urged Johnson to sit this one out.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
The Twitter account of UN Human Rights Council addressed the report published by the three-member commission and shared the link to it. The title of the report very clearly addresses the occupation to be unlawful under international law with zero ambiguity. The report states the reason for the conclusion to be the permanence of the occupation as well as Israel's de facto annexation policies. Navi Pillai, chair of the commission, stated, "Recent statements by the Secretary General and numerous member states have clearly indicated that any attempt at unilateral annexation of a state's territory by another is a violation of international law and is null and void. 143 member states, including Israel, last week voted in favor of a General Assembly resolution reaffirming this. The chair also further added, unless universally applied, including to the situation in the occupied Palestinian territory, this core principle of the United Nations Charter will become meaningless. The 28-page report published by Navanethem Pillai, Milun Kothari, and Christopher Sidoti highlights the sustenance and the advancement of the settlement enterprise, and the continuous expansion over the past couple of years that resulted in many Palestinian families to be forced out of their homes only for foreigners who've never been to the land to occupy their homes.
Yaakov, you know this is not your house.
Yes, but if I go, you don't go back. So what's the problem? Why are you yelling at me? I didn't do this.
But you're
easy to yell at me, but I didn't do this.
Yeah, you are stealing my house.
And if I don't steal it, someone else is going
to
steal it.
No one is allowed to steal it, Yaammi.
Statements by Israeli officials that showed their intention to maintain permanent control over the expanding settlements were also noted in the reports and were part of the reason why the occupation was declared unlawful. Chair of the commission also recognized the direct and indirect transferring of Israelis into the settlements as a plan to ensure permanent Israeli control in the West Bank. The Independent International Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory, including Al-Quds and in Israel. That is the name that the UN gave to the commission in May of 2021 when the UN Human Rights Council held a special session on the grave human rights situation in the Occupied Palestinian Territory. During the session, the UNHRC decided to establish an urgent international commission of inquiry to investigate alleged human rights violations in the occupied Palestinian territories at the hands of Israel. The recent report is the culmination of what the three-member council has found during the past year and a half in what seems to be an uncharacteristically direct accusation of Israeli human rights violation and breaking of international law. Let's take a quick look at some of the bullet points mentioned in the report. An allusion to the core principles of the UN on annexation, which Israel seems to have also agreed to, even though it has violated it. The existence of a settlement enterprise and the efforts to make settlement permanent, violating the rights of Palestinians who were forced to leave as settlers took their homes by force. Israelis' exploitation of land and natural resources, the restrictive urban planning and zoning policies that seize Palestinian construction as an impediment to settlements that result in frequent confiscation of land, demolition of homes, and eventually displacement. The silent harm and psychological trauma resulting from erosion of economic, social, and cultural rights of Palestinians in a coercive environment that fragments the Palestinian society. The necessity of international action as Israeli government's actions are seen by the Commission as criminal, particularly its direct and indirect transfer of civilian population into occupied and annexed territories. The report seems to be a step in the right direction for the UN to fulfill its sole responsibility of standing up for human rights violations globally. But whether or not the criminal accusations towards Israel will lead to an International Court of Justice investigation and trial remains to be seen, especially when Israel has the unwavering support of the US.
Iran has doubled down on its earlier stance that it has not supplied weapons to Russia to be used against Ukraine. Foreign Ministry officials say those claims are untrue and based on false information. Tehran says the accusations are part of a propaganda campaign by the West to stoke tensions with Iran. The accusations against Iran have been leveled by Ukraine and its Western backers. They say Russia has been using Iranian-made drones to strike Ukrainian cities in recent weeks. The Kremlin has also roundly denied the accusation, saying it's using Russia-made weapons in its strikes. Also, some Western media outlets have cited US security officials as saying that more Iranian drones as well as missiles are to be shipped to Russia. But the Pentagon says it cannot confirm those reports. However, it says it will take steps to make the sale of Iranian drones harder. Ukraine has also threatened to cut diplomatic ties with Iran. But Tehran says it holds a neutral stance and believes dialogue is the best way to end the war. Iran has invariably stressed the need for respect for various countries' sovereignty, independence, and territorial integrity, including Ukraine, based on the principles of the United Nations Charter.
The Islamic Republic of Iran has taken a clear and consistent position on the situation in Ukraine, which has been pronounced since the start of the conflict. The Islamic Republic of Iran has always emphasized that all UN members must fully respect the purpose and principles enshrined in the United Nations Charter as well as applicable international law.
The accusations against Iran come amid intensifying tensions at war fronts in Ukraine. Citizens and pro-Russian officials are evacuating from the main city in Kherson region just as Ukrainian forces are pushing to take back the area from Russia. Over 60,000 people will be evacuated within the next 6 days. The anti-Iran claims first emerged in July. Back then, U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan alleged that Washington had received, quote, information indicating that Iran was preparing to provide Russia with up to several hundred unmanned aerial vehicles, including weapons-capable UAVs, on an expedited timeline. Flying at low altitude, these unmanned aircraft can evade traditional air defense systems before dive bombing their targets. The distinctive delta wing design of the drones has led Ukrainian and Western officials to claim that they are Iranian Shahed-136 UAVs. Russia's use of the so-called kamikaze drones has sparked panic in Ukraine. The United States, Britain and France were planning to raise the claim during a closed-door UN Security Council meeting. They accuse Iran of violating a UN Security Council resolution that had placed an arms embargo on Iran. The arms embargo expired in 2020, despite the efforts of former US President Donald Trump to renew it.
Iran categorically rejected unfounded and unsubstantiated claims that Iran has transferred UAVs for the use of the conflict in Ukraine. It is recently disappointing that to pursue their political agenda, these states are trying to launch a disinformation campaign against Iran.
So, dear colleagues, today we have observed another round of the disinformation campaign from the Security Council by the Western delegations, as they raised in the Council the issue of the UAVs allegedly used by Russia in Ukraine. The aim of our Western colleagues is clear. They attempt to hit two targets at once, inventing an artificial pretext to put pressure on Russia and on Iran.
The accusations come amid continued NATO military support for Ukraine. The West is now under fire for fanning the flames of war by sending more and more military hardware there. It's now believed that the accusations made against Iran are part of a larger media campaign against the Islamic Republic. The West, led by the United States, were trying to pressurize Iran by supporting the rioters in Iran during the recent tensions. They imposed a series of sanctions on Iranian officials over human rights allegations. However, they failed to dictate their will on Iran.
France is facing protests over the cost of living crisis fueled by soaring inflation. Police have clashed with the protesters, venting anger in the capital, Paris. Protesters were met with police brutality. Police used batons to disperse the protesters, who were throwing rocks at security forces. There are calls by trade unions for a nationwide transport strike. Unions now say it is time to expand the industrial action at oil refineries to other sectors. Protesters and strikers say they need pay rise to cope with the soaring cost of living. France is now experiencing inflation at 6.2%. That is the highest rate in decades. Striking workers are demanding higher wages from the profits of energy companies amid high oil and gas prices. Protesters have demanded emergency measures against high prices, including freezes in the cost of energy. The industrial action has taken offline more than 60% of France's refining capacity. Macron's government is also on the defensive in Parliament, where it has lost its majority in legislative elections in June. It is much more difficult for his centrist alliance to implement his agenda against strengthened opponents. France is not the only country in Europe that is facing protests. European countries are facing more strikes and protests due to high energy prices and the mounting cost of living. The UK economy shrank by 0.3% in August. It experienced a 10.2% inflation rate in September, which was the highest in 40 years. The latest data shows that inflation rose on average to 10.9% across the European Union. Europe faces a very difficult economic climate if the current energy crisis worsens, with winter temperatures likely to be a decisive factor.
The European Union has imposed sanctions on Iran over its response to recent riots in the country. The sanctions list includes 11 individuals and 4 entities and targets a section of Iran's police, the Basij Volunteer Forces, and the cyber division of the country's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps. The Iranian Information Minister is also blacklisted. The coercive measures include travel bans and asset freezes. The sanctions were imposed during a meeting of EU foreign ministers. The move drew strong condemnation from Tehran, with the Iranian Foreign Ministry promising reciprocal bans on European officials and entities.
The Islamic Republic of Iran will make a reciprocal and proportionate reaction.
Iran's foreign ministry has described the EU sanctions as a violation of international law and a clear example of meddling in the country's internal affairs. The ministry also accused the bloc of bias and using human rights as a means to achieve political goals. Iran's foreign minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian also took to Twitter to dismiss the sanctions as futile and based on false allegations.
Down a well-worn path of ineffective sanctions, the EU today adopted further superfluous sanctions on Iranian persons. It is an unconstructive act out of miscalculation based on widespread disinformation. Riots and vandalism are not tolerated anywhere. Iran is no exception.
The EU and its member states had already acquired a reputation as major violators of human rights in Iran due to their inaction and endorsement of harsh US sanctions on the country. In the statement, the EU condemned what it called the widespread and disproportionate use of force against peaceful protesters in Iran. The EU foreign ministers accused the Iranian police of being responsible for Mahsa Amini's death, claiming she was beaten and mistreated. That's while a forensic investigation dismissed allegations that she was beaten and attributed her death to an underlying condition. The EU has intentionally disregarded and dismissed documents offered by Iran proving foreign support for the riots and showing that accusations leveled against the government are baseless. The US, Canada, and the UK leveled new sanctions against Iranian authorities and entities in response to the recent unrest in Iran, and the EU followed suit. These countries say Iranians' right to peacefully protest must be ensured under any circumstances. But as Iran's foreign minister has described it, these nations have considered riots and terrorist actions as protests in interventionist comments, which in effect incite rioters and terrorists.
We need to separate the riots from peaceful demonstration. Anyone in their right state of mind will understand the difference between these two and separate them. The reality is people do have legitimate right everywhere in the world. Indeed, in Iran is part of the Iranian constitution. They have the right to demonstrate, but no one has got the right to commit riots and endanger people's lives.
Meanwhile, there have been plenty of instances of the Western government's widespread violations of human rights and suppression of peaceful protests in their own countries, particularly in the EU. Serious human rights violations, including corruption, human trafficking, racism, and discrimination, persist across Europe, while unemployment and poverty in many countries are nurturing extremism and conflict. Therefore, Iranian officials say the EU cannot impose sanctions on Iran as long as countries within the bloc are violating human rights.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على
محمد
وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network, in the presence of some of the students of Sevier International Schools. Here we have Fawad Haider, Hassan Nasrullah, right?
Yes.
And Hussein Ruhullah, yeah?
Yes.
And Brother Ali Nasir. So I really welcome you all here in this session. Welcome. And salam, how are you? Good, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Everyone is fine.
Yes.
That's great. So, brothers and sisters, as you're listening to us, inshallah, in this session, again, we're going to hold a very important Quranic session for you. Inshallah, we'll be explaining, as previous sessions, we'll be explaining, inshallah, some of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Then we'll be working on the Tajweed rules. And we will be reciting and practicing, inshallah, these verses with Tajweed rules. So, inshallah, in this session, the ayah, or the verse that we are going to work on, is ayah 41 of Surah Al-Baqarah. I want you to turn to page 7, inshallah, and Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah, or verse number 41. Before we start, let's listen to this ayah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
So, I will be inshallah reciting. Make sure you listen and repeat, all right? Ready?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وآمنوا بما أنزلت مصدقا لما معكم ولا تكونوا أول كافر به
وآمنوا بما أنزلت مصدقا لما معكم ولا تكونوا أول كافر به
ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا وإياي فاتقون
ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا وإياي فاتقون
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. In the previous session, in the previous ayah, ayah 40, Allah Almighty was talking to Bani Israel, right? Actually, the scholars of Bani Israel, okay? Not all the people. So the scholars are actually the important parts of society. So in this ayah as well, Allah Almighty talks to them, okay? And commands them something. وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ Okay? And believe. Okay, have faith in what I have sent down. Okay, مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ confirming that which is with you, among you. Okay, you should confirm it. What, for example, the book that they have, Tawrat, okay, and the teachings of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, the other prophets that they had already. Okay, Allah Almighty says, confirm them. And also believe in what I have sent down. What has Allah Almighty recently had sent? The Quran.
Quran.
Yes? Yeah, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, and then Allah Almighty says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ Okay? And do not be the first ones to refuse or to deny or to disbelieve in it. In what? And what I have sent down in the Quran, okay? وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا And do not sell my signs for a tiny or little things to gain, okay? For very low cost, okay? Understood? Do not sell or exchange my signs or Quran Karim or Iman, belief, okay? Do not exchange your beliefs, okay, with little things that you have in the dunya, okay? In this world. وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ And be wary of me. It means fear only from me, okay? So, this ayah has important messages. That one of the important message is this. That we have to, first and foremost, one of the very easiest way to know Allah Almighty is to look at His creation. The creatures that He has created all around us, and to believe in them. Okay? When we look at the creatures of Allah Almighty, of course, they tell us, they are the signs of Allah Almighty. They tell us that these things around you are not created without a creator. Okay? So it has, there is, of course, a creator, someone who has created, a power who has created, okay? A person, or not a person, okay? A power. An existent, okay? Who has the power, who has the knowledge, who has the wisdom to create things properly and manage them well, okay? So there is such a person, okay? Or such a power. So that power is called Allah Almighty, okay? So this way we believe. Quran Karim was one of the signs of Allah Almighty's existence, okay? And also the other books the prophets, all the prophets from Prophet Adam alayhi salam to our prophet and all the imams were claiming that they were sent by one God, the same God.
Yes.
It was not like this, that Prophet Musa comes and says that I was sent from that God and Prophet Isa alayhi salam says I was sent from the other God. No, they were all sent down by one Allah Almighty. And they were all claiming this. This shows that, of course, they were one. It doesn't mean that like for 7,000 years, for example. So all of them had managed this with themselves. Okay, hey, you gotta say, okay, that I was sent from that prophet. By that, I was sent down by that Allah Almighty. Or I was appointed, okay, by that God. They didn't manage this between themselves, okay? That we should say this among people, okay? No, Allah Almighty really did this. It was Allah Almighty who sent down, okay? Who appointed those prophets. And we have to believe. وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ Okay? And yes. Also it tells us that we shouldn't be, we, those who, actually the scholars. If the scholars are disbelievers, you know that the society easily will disbelieve in things.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So scholars, those who are knowledgeable, they are very important. Okay, the role that they play in the society.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So, inshallah. وَآمِنُوا. Make sure it has a long sound. Let's talk about the tajweed rules here, okay? وَآمِنُوا. Both long sounds, okay? Long vowel sounds. آمِنُوا. وَآمِنُوا. Do not say أَمِنُوا. وَآمِنُوا. Believe. It is an order. Command. بِمَا. أَلِف مَد. Plus the next word starts with حَمْزَ. مَد should be applied here. But is it wajib or jayiz?
Jayiz.
Yes. Because the أَلِف مَد and حَمْزَ are in separate words,
separate
word. Not in the same words. وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ نُون ساكين plus ز. What rule is applied?
إخفى.
إخفى. Why? Because ز
is from the rest.
Rest of the letters, not amongst throat letters, not amongst يرمنون letters, or the letter ب. It's not with the letter ب. So it's just from the rest of the letters. How do you apply the rule إخفى? You hide it, yeah? Hide the noon sound. How do you hide it?
Yes.
Look, I'm saying noon. That's it. Simple as that.
Yes.
وَآمِنُوا بِمَا Yes?
Yes.
It's very easy. Okay. Hussein, say it. وَآمِنُوا.
وَآمِنُوا بِمَا
Make sure your lips go down. Close your mouth. Close the door, okay? وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ All right?
Yes.
أَنزَلْتُ مُصَدِّقًا مُصَدِّقًا قَنْ مُصَدِّقًا تَنْوِين فَتْحَة plus next word starts with لام تَنْوِين فَتْحَة تَنْوِين actually تَنْوِين plus لام
Idgham.
Lam is from Yermalun letters, yes?
Yes.
Idgham with Ghunna or without?
Without.
Let me see how Ali Nasir applies the rule Idgham without Ghunna here.
Musaddiqan lima.
Isn't it Musaddiqan lima?
No.
No, it's not, yes?
No, yeah.
Musaddiqan lima. First, just go. Fast, not furious, okay? Just. Go fast. So, مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا Right?
Yes.
مَعَكُمْ وَلَا A lot of students recite it this way. وَلَتَكُونُوا Make sure it is not وَلَتَكُونُوا Okay, it has an alif. they think that that's only lam, but that's lam with alif.
Yeah.
Lam, alif, la. Right? وَلَا تَكُونُ نُو. All right, taku, nu, both long vowels. أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ. Aha, كَافِرٍ. Tanween. And plus
ba.
So what rule is applied?
إقلاب.
إقلاب. All right, Fawad, mashallah. How do you apply the rule إقلاب?
You change ba to mim?
No. Change tanween. Oh, we changed tanween to a half mim sound. Kafirin bi. Bi. Okay, make sure. You were reciting beh. It's not beh. Bi. E sound. Not A sound. Alright?
Yeah,
it's okay.
Kasra.
وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا. Tanween plus qaf. Rest of the letters. Ikhfa, right?
Ikhfa.
ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. قَلِيلًا. Tanween plus waw.
إِدْغَام
قَلِيلًا. وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُوا. That was all about Tajweed rules in this ayah, inshallah. I hope you've learned something, and make sure you practice. And for the explanation, make sure you refer to the interpretations of the Quran Kareem, the Tafasir book, okay? Books, and make sure you practice and learn more. That's it. If you have any question, guys, nothing?
No.
So that was all from us for today. See you, inshallah, in the coming session. Stay with us, please. Thanks to Allah Almighty. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. See you, inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajah.
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC.
A celebrated Chinese artist integrates his life experiences and the beauty of his homeland using his own distinctive style of traditional painting. Chen Jialing is known for his Chinese ink paintings. Chen brings to life the imaginative richness and culture through his depictions of landscape with every brush of color. He is most famous for breaking traditional painting techniques while staying within the framework of the art form. Chen says one of his favorite subjects is the Jianggong Mountains, especially during certain hours when the sunlight offers its own visual delights.
The composition of this painting is based on the main peak of the Jianggong Mountains, because the main peak is the most majestic and imposing, especially at noon. The sun shines on the trees, forming a contour light involving trees and the large mountains, which is extremely beautiful.
The 85-year-old artist has also used fused traditional landscape painting with modern technology. Though Chen has participated in numerous art exhibitions, but he says his first solo exhibit was held in his 70s, and that's when his career really took off. Chen says he plans to paint as much of his homeland's stunning scenery as possible during his lifetime. If you have a sweet tooth, then this next bit of news is just for you. Visitors are now taking advantage of the expanded version of Cakeland, which is an immersive art gallery in the U.S. city of Los Angeles. The structure is meant to feel like a giant multi-layered cake. It's entirely made of artificial materials, but looks like if it's full of cherries, whipped cream, and layers of cake. Artist Scott Hoff says he used nearly a ton of pipe frosting, 120 mirrors, and thousands of cherries. Plus, he embedded thousands of crystals in the walls as a final touch. The artist says he chose to develop Cakeland after he noticed how much his artificial cake sculptures were welcomed by viewers.
So I chose cake because, number one, it's really beautiful. Number two, it's really fun to do. And number three, it engages the viewers in such a meaningful way.
Hoff says he never actually made a real cake before and has mainly followed his enthusiasm for fake food as the inspiration for this project. Visitors are able to walk through the cake, a labyrinth, and explore various rooms. While there is a lot of deliciousness and lightness of the cakes, visitors to this cake land can discover some interesting darker elements as they wander around. The art installation has continued to expand since it was founded by Hov in 2020. Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out its instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type, and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to offload. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well. Just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature.
Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre-Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats. A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returning panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture and manufacturing. An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. Okay, and so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge? How much power do you want to be able to draw from it? So again, we're targeting call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions, while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs.
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.